Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Again today, I'm talking about the importance of God's Word in your life. And this is a truth that has just revolutionized me. God spoke this to me back in the very beginning of my walk with Him, told me that if I'd take the Word and just study it, put the Word in my heart, that it'd teach me everything I needed to know. And you know what? It has really been true. I mean, I hadn't arrived, but I've left. And I have seen God do miracles in my life that if you would have told me this 41 years ago, some of the things that would have happened, I would have been astounded. And yet, it's just because I took the Word of God and have been sowing it in my life. And it's helped me personally. It's helped me in the ministry. It's helped me to minister to other people. Man, I don't say this in a critical way, but I'm just honest with you. I don't know how people that haven't founded their life on the Word of God cope. I really don't. I've had things happen in my life that honestly I thought I wouldn't be able to live through it. It was overwhelming. It was beyond my natural ability. And yet, in those instances, it's like I'd been planting the Word and there was a crop there. There was a momentum that was in my life because I'd been meditating in the Word. And it has, I just couldn't have made it. I don't know how I would have coped. I don't know what my life would have been like, but it certainly wouldn't have been like it is now without the Word of God. And I just don't understand how people that don't seek the Lord and seek the Word and base their life on the Word make it. I mean, that it's that important to me. And I'm just saying to you, I think that this is the way that God intends it to be with everyone. And so I've been teaching on this now. This is into probably about a week and a half that I've been teaching on this. And we're now in the parable of the sower sowing the seed that was listed in Mark chapter 4. And I've already said a lot of things about this. I hadn't got time to go back, but this is an essential parable that you understand it. Mark chapter 4, verse 13, Jesus said, "Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables?" In other words, if you don't get the truths in this parable, you won't be able to understand any of the rest of the parables that Jesus taught. So this is super important. In verse 14, it says, "The sower soweth the word." Now, he's interpreting a parable that he gave in the earlier part of this chapter, and he's saying that this really isn't about farming. He was talking about a man who just threw seed on four different types of ground, and there was only one out of the four that produced fruit. But this isn't really talking about how to have a garden. He's using that to illustrate how the kingdom of God works. And he's saying that the Word is to the kingdom of God the way that seeds are to a garden. If you want a garden, you got to sow seeds. If you want results in the kingdom of God, you've got to take the Word of God and meditate in it. Again, I use this verse out of Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then, when you've meditated in it day and night, you shall have good success." This Word is what produces prosperity and success. If you want it, you need the Word of God. There are so many people that just pray and call out to God in desperation, but they don't sow a seed. You can't get a garden by praying and begging. You have to plant a seed. Now, if you plant the seed, I believe that prayer in faith will cause it to grow better. It may keep some of the insects out. It may keep the weeds out. Now, you have to do some natural things too, but I'm saying prayer is like water and fertilizer, but you can water barren ground. You can fertilize barren ground, and if you hadn't planted a seed, nothing will grow. Prayer and other things work, and they help, but the seed is absolutely essential. And so many people are wanting results without a seed. They're wanting a crop without having first sown a seed. So then he begins to go into, there were four different types of people that were exposed to the Word, and only one out of four brought forth fruit. Now, here's another point that you can gain from this parable. If you just stop and think about it for a minute, this means that only 25% of the people in this parable brought forth fruit. There were four types of ground. Three of them did not bring forth fruit. And, you know, I don't know for sure that this is something that this is just the way it's always got to be, but this is the way that I observe it. I go into churches, and I've heard this many times, and most pastors will say that there's around 20 to 25% of the church do all of the giving, do all of the visitation, make the church run, are there at the functions. There's about 25% of the church that you can count on, and the others, they come and go. Sometimes they give, sometimes they might show, but there's about 20 to 25% of the church that you can count on. Again, that's very typical. That's the same thing that's being said in this parable. In my experience dealing with people, and I go into, you know, hotels and things like this, neutral venues, they aren't just churches, and people come to my meetings. So this isn't your normal average run-of-the-mill person, because these are pretty much fanatics. It isn't your nod-to-God crowd. It's not the ones that are getting credit for going. This is during the week, and they're coming to a meeting. And yet, even in my crowds, it's probably a little higher than 25%, but I would dare to say that maybe 50% of the people that come to my meetings, they are there seeking something. They may want me to pray for them or to wave my hand over them, and they're just expecting something to happen. But there's only about half of those people or less that are really grabbing hold of the Word of God and making it work in their life. And so I've experienced this in my own personal ministry when I pastored churches, that it's just like he was teaching here, that out of four types of ground, three-fourths of those, 75% of them, they may have had good intentions, but they don't really see the Word of God work in their life. And it's not because God's Word doesn't work. It's because people just don't commit themselves and do what it takes to see the Word of God produce. So here's the first type of person that he talked about. In verse 15, it says, "These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." Now, the original parable over in the first part of this is that the man just threw the seed, and this first type of ground is a place where the ground was packed down. It's like a path. People have been walking on it, and the ground was so hard that the seed never got down inside of the ground. And so it was just laying open on the ground, and so the fowls of the air, the birds, came and ate the seed, and the seed never even had a chance to grow. You know, this is comparable to many people hear the word, but their heart has just become so hardened towards the things of God that it never even penetrates. I can guarantee you that we have millions and millions, billions of people around the world that could be getting this program. And I can guarantee you that there are people who are watching this program while they're getting ready or something else, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying that there's some people that the words are here. The words are coming out of my mouth. God is speaking truth out of me towards people that could change their life, but many of them are distracted. Many of them are doing something else, and they're hearing it, and yet it never gets down on the inside of them. There's people that aren't really putting their attention on what God is saying. And that's what this is describing. This is describing a person that's just so hardened that the word never penetrates them. Let me read this to you out of Matthew chapter 13. This is the exact same parable just recorded in Matthew's gospel. And it says in verse 18, this is Matthew 13, 18, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one," it's talking about Satan, "and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." Now, out of these four different types of people who were exposed to the word, this is the only person that the scripture says that Satan had direct access to, and he stole the word immediately. Now, in the other cases, the word began to work. It just didn't bring the completion. It didn't bring the full harvest. But this is a terrible situation when the devil has total access to you and can just steal the word from you. That's a dangerous situation. If everything that I've been saying about the Word is true and the Word is absolutely essential and this is how the kingdom of God works and you can't get a crop without planting a seed, well, then this seed germinating is absolutely essential. And to have it just stolen away from you by the devil, that's a terrible thing. How could he do that? Well, the key is over here in Matthew 13:19 when it says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then comes the wicked one and steals away the word. You know what determines whether the word ever gets down on the inside of you and even gets a chance to produce? The determining factor in that is whether or not you understand it. Understanding. You know, I don't know exactly how to say this, but it's like, I could put food in your mouth, but if you don't swallow it, then eventually you spit out that food. Even though you had it, it's not going to release its nutrients. It's not going to give you strength and vitality until you swallow it and digest it and get it down on the inside of it. Understanding is like when you swallow it. In other words, I could say some things to you, and I could tell you that it's God's will for you to be healed. And you could sit there and say, oh, well, that's great. But if you don't understand how healing works, if you don't understand, if you don't meditate on that until it becomes a revelation and you not only have heard that piece of information, but now it's something that you understand. God wants you well. It's God's will for you to be well. He doesn't want you to be sick. Until you understand that, then you haven't really swallowed that truth. And there are people that they sit there in church every single week and if you were to ask them after the church service, so what was the message about? They could tell you pieces of information. They could tell you the overall thrust of what the message was about, but they don't understand it. They don't know how to apply that to their life. They just don't have understanding. You know, it's like me with a car. I can start a car. I can drive a car. I could do minor things as far as repairing a car. But you know what? I have some knowledge about a car, but I don't have a lot of understanding. And therefore, if something goes wrong, I pretty much have to call somebody to come fix it because I don't have the understanding. I probably have the tools. I probably have the physical, mental capabilities that I could do it, but I just don't understand those things. I haven't applied myself to it, and I don't understand. So I have to depend upon people that do understand to fix my cars for me. Well, there are some of you that you've heard things, you've heard bits and pieces, you might even be able to quote where a verse is, but you don't understand how it works. And so you're just at a loss. And Satan comes immediately and just steals the word from you. And that's, I believe, where a lot of people, I would even venture to say maybe a majority of people in the body of Christ are. They've heard bits and pieces. They've heard little things, but they don't understand. They haven't really got a deep understanding. You know, the word understand in the Greek that was used in the New Testament, I think it's dianoia. I'm not sure exactly how you pronounce it, but that's the closest I can come to it. That word literally means deep thought. Not just thought, but deep thought. In other words, you could have a thought come to you, but you have to think about it and go deep with this and meditate on it before it becomes understanding. And most people, when it comes to godly things, when it comes to things of the Bible, they've heard bits and pieces, but they just don't focus on it and think about it and meditate on it to the degree that it becomes a deep thought, that they get understanding, and all of a sudden a light goes on and it's going to release its power in their life. And so that's comparable to like throwing seed and it's on such hard ground that it never penetrates. And therefore it's just exposed and Satan has the ability to come and steal this word away. You know, I know that there's some of you that right now you're relating to what I'm saying and you're saying, boy, that's the way it is with me. I've gone to church, I've read the Bible, I've listened to you guys on television, and I've done things, but man, I just don't understand. It's because your heart's been hardened. You haven't understood. I have an entire teaching on this entitled Hardness of Heart, and one of the characteristics of a hardened heart over in Mark chapter 8, Jesus was talking to his disciples and he says, "Don't you perceive, neither understand? Have you your heart yet hardened?" And he right there linked a hardness of heart to our inability to understand. It also says the same thing in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, when it's saying, "Don't walk like the Gentiles walk, having your understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the hardness of their heart." And so all of these things fit together. This is basically saying that through a lack of focus, a lack of attention, your heart can become insensitive towards God, hardened towards God. And then you do go to church, or you listen to somebody on television, or you read the Bible, or you try and pray, and you hear things, but it just doesn't penetrate because your heart has become hardened. You don't understand, and Satan steals it away from you. The way to reverse that process is to understand that whatever you focus your attention on, your heart becomes sensitive to. Whatever you neglect, your heart becomes hardened to. So you may not have rejected the truths of God. You may not have ever said, "Oh, I don't believe the Word of God." You may love God. You may love the Word of God. You may want the benefit of God's Word in your life. But if you've neglected it, and instead you've been preoccupied with other things, and it doesn't have to be sinful things. Sinful things will harden you towards God. But you could just be preoccupied with living and just neglect the things of God, and your heart will become insensitive, hardened towards it. You could hear the truth, but it doesn't penetrate and get on the inside, and Satan just steals it from you. So the way you reverse this is to reverse your focus. You're going to have to start spending not only quality, but quantity, time focused on God and His Word. And I can promise you, if you read the Word, and if you stay focused on it, it's going to change your life. You know, there's times in my life where I get busy with things. I get occupied. I get so thinking about something that honestly, my focus isn't on the Word. And there have been times, and I'm sure most of you have probably experienced something like this, but there's been times that I've read a passage of Scripture, an entire chapter, and when I get through, if you would ask me, "What book of the Bible are you reading in?" I wouldn't have even known what book it was. I don't remember what I read because even though I read it and I read every word in the chapter, my focus was someplace else. Now, see, if you do something like that, the Word has never got past your understanding. It's not got down on the inside of you. And Satan is just going to steal that Word from you. That's useless. And so, you know what I've done when I realize that? I go back and I'll read the same chapter over. And I may still be occupied. And the second time through, I still couldn't tell you what I've read. So you know what I'll do? I'll read it over again. And there's been times that I've read one chapter 4 or 5 times, just making myself saying, "I will focus on the Word of God. I'm going to cast my care about these other things over on the Lord, and I will focus on the Word of God." And I just make myself do it. And with me, I have never just forced myself to, "I am going to read this until it begins to start ministering to me and I get something out of it." I have never done that the Word of God hasn't spoken to me. It takes some effort on our part. But the way you reverse this hardness of heart, being preoccupied with other things, is just to force yourself to focus on the Word of God. And if you'll do it, I guarantee you, God wants to reveal Himself to you more than you want Him to reveal Himself to you. God wants this seed to get on the inside of you and start bringing forth fruit more than you want it. You know, let me read this verse to you out of John chapter 15. And in verse 16, it says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you." This verse says that Jesus ordained you to go and bring forth fruit. You didn't choose Him. We often say, "I found the Lord," but the truth is, He wasn't the one that was lost. It was God that pursued us. It was God that found us. God caught you. God wants you to be fruitful. God wants you to be fruitful more than you want it. He's ordained this. And He not only wants you to bear fruit, but He wants you to bear fruit that remains. Man, that's good news. So I'm just saying all of these things to say that if you find yourself like this first type of person, that the word was sown, they heard it, but it didn't penetrate. Satan came immediately and stole it. And if you say, that's the way I am, I know I've tried to go to church, I've tried to listen to the word on television, I've tried to study the word, I've tried to listen to tapes, books, things like this, and yet I just don't understand it, and therefore it's been stolen away from you. The way you reverse that is to recognize that God wants you to bear fruit. He's for it. And if you will just focus and make yourself, discipline yourself, and continue in the Word, it will begin to start producing in your life. And let me add one other thing based on Matthew 13, verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, it says specifically that this first type of ground were people who didn't understand the word. This is why, you know, I try and go out of my way to make the Bible as simple and plain as I possibly can. I have a lot of people say that, man, it's just so simple the way you teach it. I do that on purpose, because if a person doesn't understand what I'm saying, Satan just steals it from you. This is why we have children's church. It's not because you preach a different gospel to a child than you teach to an adult. But you know what? A child may not understand the word eschatology. I can't even say it. I guess that says a lot about me. But anyway, they may not understand some of these big words, theological things, omnipotent, omniscient, all of these kind of things. That doesn't communicate to a child, and therefore Satan would steal it from them immediately. So you teach the same things. You teach the same things about the love of God and about how God wants to heal you and bless you and prosper you. And you teach the exact same things, but you put it in words that a child can understand. That's the logic behind this, is you've got to put the word into a format that people can understand. And you know, I was raised in a church that was close to Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, and we used to have doctors of theology that would come over and teach. And I mean, they would use such big words, you'd have to sit there with the Bible in one hand and the dictionary in the other hand to try and figure out what they were saying. And people would say, oh, that was deep. You know what I really think deep is when you take it and make it so simple that anybody can understand. I think that that is really deep. But talking in words that doesn't communicate to people, that goes over people's heads, that's not going to help them. This makes it very clear that if you don't understand the word, Satan is going to come and steal it away immediately. So you've got to put forth the word in words that are easy to be understood, that people can understand. That's why Jesus used parables. We're studying the parable of the sower sowing the seed. And the reason Jesus used parables is because people understood sowing and reaping. So he taught a godly message using something that would allow people to understand the points that he's making. I tell you, this is really important. I'm going to continue this on our program again tomorrow, but I'm out of time today. I would like to encourage you to listen to our announcer. He's going to tell you about how you can get the CDs and the DVDs entitled A Sure Foundation. And once he gives you that information, please call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled A Sure Foundation is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Make sure to specify whether you want the CD or DVD album when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The second teaching in the Sure Foundation series titled Got a Need? Plant a Seed is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this second CD free of charge when you write or call. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, we have a lot of information on our website. Not only this teaching that I have about a sure foundation, but I have about, I think it's 8 or 10 years of my television programs are archived there that you can watch free of charge. I have more than that, radio programs that you can listen to. I have hundreds of my teaching tapes that you can download. You talk about getting the Word in you. Our website is really one of the best sources on the web, I believe, for getting the Word of God out. And so I encourage you to check it out. We have the address right there on the screen. And if you would check it out, I guarantee you, you will get the Word through our AWMI website.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Charis Bible College Men's Advance, January 28th through the 30th, and in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar, February 4th through the 6th, and in Merritt Island, Florida, February 7th. He'll also be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, March 3rd through the 5th, and in Colorado Springs for Charis Bible College Campus Days, March 10th through the 12th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
You know, I believe that sharing with people about the Word of God and putting the Word of God in your life as a foundation is one of the most important things that I could possibly do. And I know that there's many of you that understand the importance of this. I want to thank those of you who've been partners with us. You're allowing us to share this Word with people and to share these truths, and it's changing people's lives. For those of you who haven't become a partner with us, I'd like to ask you to pray about helping us, because we are spending a lot of money, well over $1 million a month on television airtime, and it just takes a lot of money to be able to do that. So if you've been blessed and if you would like to help us share these truths with other people, please call that number that you see on your screen and become a monthly partner.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
You know, if you sow a seed in the ground and if you don't pay attention to it, if you don't water it, if you don't fertilize it, if you don't weed it and get rid of the other things, often it doesn't produce because it just gets choked out. It may die of thirst. There is some attention you have to give to a seed in the natural realm, and likewise in the spiritual realm, you need to give a priority and a focus to the Word of God. And most people don't do that.